This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Whelan is floated in on the volley. Oh, it's unbelievable. Jack Grealish on his return to the Aston Villa side has scored a volley from fully 19 or 20 yards. The home fans were singing his name moments ago. They'll be building a statue to him after this.
Welcome to the Jack Grealish podcast show. I'm David Michael, the editor of jackgrealish.com. Joining me, my fellow Jack Grealish fans, Dan Rogers from the jackgrealishunderground.com, and also
Hello.
Chris Budd from the Upper Jack Grealish Stand. Welcome.
Hello.
We are back after a three-month winter break for the Jack Grealish podcast. We've been out hanging out in Dubai using the gym there.
Just hibernating.
Couldn't find any exercise bikes in Birmingham, so we decided to go to Dubai.
Bit of warm weather training.
Exactly.
But we were back in time for Grealish Day.
I've never seen a player's return hype so much, hype so desperately. Yes. With those little ticket links. Please buy a ticket.
Jack's back. Be part of the park. Jack's back.
And please renew your season ticket because Jack might be here.
Be part of the Jack.
And even when he scored, wasn't it, the goal scorer for Aston Villa, he's back and his name's Jack. Shut up. Shut up.
Why has my dad got the tannoy?
Dad, put the mic down. It's not karaoke.
Sorry, this is the My Old Man Said podcast. We were obviously just swept up in the Grealish hurricane of this week that the club has perpetuated. But to give him his due, Grealish, or should I say, as he's now known, Captain Grealish,
Captain Jack,
to give him his proper name, completely lived up to the hype, to be fair. I'm just trying to think of the last time I felt glad to have a day out at the football, because the last few weeks there's, you know, you're just surrounded by toxicity. And it was just people were starting to think about, well, I don't really want to renew my season ticket.
I don't want to be part of the park.
I don't want to be part of the park if I'm surrounded by a bunch of cunts abusing players. You know, sometimes we record this podcast very late, as we are doing now, as we are approaching the midnight hour. And when we finish, we start waffling because we're delirious from the lack of sleep and
lack of good football. Normally.
Lack of good football as well. And just realizing that potentially we've ruined our Monday, because yes, we're going to feel like shit. And we start talking about, I think it was a few weeks ago, we were trying to describe ways to describe those people, and everybody knows who we're talking about. There's always somebody who sits either behind you or to the left, to the right, or in front of you that's just persistently, like a hobby horse, will have one player that he always slags off.
Every block has one, I'm sure.
Every block has one.
Every season ticket holder has someone who they've been stuck next to for years.
Yeah. And so we were coming up with names for at these people. We were going to use them as hashtags.
It will catch on.
I promise you, it will catch on.
We had the twat at the
twat
back.
Twat at the back. We had the cunt in, the cunt in front.
And I'm particularly proud of the anti-Semite on the right. You know who you are.
And maybe even the boar next door.
We just need somebody on the left. I wish I had a prize, because that would be a good question. Would be, what would you call somebody on the left of you that was a bit of a prick? Please feel free to use those hashtags. Twat at the back. Cunt in front and anti-Semite on the right. Anyway, it was pure pleasure. There was a posse of Norwegians that were going, and I got an email from one who was offering up his tickets for free to anybody who couldn't afford them.
Good gesture.
So I swapped, because it was up at Ellis. I've never been in there ever, or Witten Lane, as we like to properly call it.
Yeah, I don't refer to it as the
So Witten Lane, upper. So first time, I think it's the last section of a stand I've never been in. So the invitation was too much. And so I also I put it out on Facebook and invited a chappie called Matthew and his young son, who I think they were season ticket holders up until about 3 years ago. And then just, I don't know if it was like, I don't want to spend any more money on this. Or but so they were back at the park, part of the park. And we had a good time. We had a great time. All good vibes. People were laughing around us, laughing at some of the things that we were saying, laughing at Matthew's expression when Grealish's goal went in while he was mid-Balti pie.
Oh, what? I tell you what, is there a finer place to be?
And I wish I took a picture, because it was just jaw-dropping, Balti pie hanging out of it.
Curry sauce
that's
everywhere.
Really good branding for that. Would be superb marketing, wouldn't it, for that Balti pie?
They want to get on it. Who is it now that do the Balti pies?
I don't want to know.
I had one before the game, to be honest, and got a bit of it on my tracksuit top, I must admit.
It's no Digbeth Dining Club, is it?
It's no Digbeth Dining Club. And I think that was the last time I had a Balti pie. I had one bite and I dropped it. So I think I'm staying off them. But anyway, sorry,
back to the Jack Grealish.
We digress. But yes, let's start the podcast. We'll talk about Jack Grealish's Wunderbar goal and all things else connected to Jack Grealish, as we pertained at the top of the show. It really was all about Jack Grealish.
Not that we're a one-man show.
I thought Whelan and Mr. Horahan were top dollar, but we'll get into that. Also on the show, 3 points, where quite an eclectic assortment of points, from running football teams on your mobile phone to offers of refunds if you lose, and virtuous Spanish football authorities, which...
I think it's the fans fighting back.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen. There'll be the Scott Hogan touch count meter. Also, a quick mention of the plans for Villa away fans at the Blues. The tampon wars are over as well.
They are, but the mothership is
But they're stretching over to the whole of Birmingham. More of that, quickly, we won't dwell on that. Obviously, then we'll talk about how we destroyed Frank Lampard's Derby County, as they're called now. It's like when you rename a stadium, like the Reebok Stadium or whatever.
Or the Trillion Trophy Stadium.
Now Derby County are Frank Lampard's Derby County.
Jack Grealish is Aston Villa, by the way.
Yeah, sorry, Jack Grealish is Aston Villa.
He just captained the club, boyhood club.
Jack Grealish is Aston Villa 4, Frank Lampard's Derby 0. Also, we'll finish on... people still start to talk about, as soon as Villa win a game, and this is the first, you know, we've won like 3 and 15, they suddenly start talking about the playoffs. So we'll just put the playoffs into context quickly at the end of the show. Also, we have a couple of... patron questions. Well, there's more, actually. We'll see how many we have time to filter through, and if there's any outstanding, we'll do them separately in a patron only podcast. Right. Oh, first of all, sorry, just some quick business. We ran a competition, you may remember, I think it was episode 63, to win 2 tickets in hospitality for the Middlesbrough game, and the winner was Mark Wood. And always when we do competitions, there's always some problem. Either the competition winner never gets back to me, and I have to give their prize to my mother or somebody. but this time, Mark is actually, I think he's on service with the RAF in Mali.
Wasn't that confidential information you've just given out? Isn't that like a secret mission?
That's Black Ops, Dave.
That's this is our post-Brexit exit strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
We're quietly invading Mali.
Shit, I shouldn't have given the game away there. But anyway, unfortunately, he had his service extended since he entered the competition, but he's now passed it on the prize to his brother Richard. So hopefully, Richard will enjoy that. We should have just passed it on to you and Chris, really, Dan. But
I'm quite content where I am, thanks.
Oh, he's a purist.
See, I'm sure Mark just made it up. He was just looking at the last 3 months' form and thought, oh, fuck it, I'll pretend I'm in the RAF. Richard.
I get better food in the RAF.
I mean, you don't want a Villa dog that's freshly picked. He's freshly picked that sausage out of the ground.
I mean, I never normally buy food there, so... You know, buy a drink and I don't really look at the food board. I just know what's going to be there, you know, burgers, fries, whatever. So it was only in this podcast like 2 years ago when you started talking about the Villa dog.
You actually looked it up, didn't you?
Now, every time I look up, I see the Villa dog and I can't stop but laugh. Anyway, we're digressing yet again. Yeah, the Villa dog, it's just a wonderful name.
they grow like asparagus in Aston. You just have to have a sharp thumbnail and you can just nip it right off.
In Lady Holt's Gardens, round the back of Aston Hall.
Listen, less of Lady Holt's Gardens on this podcast. It's a family show.
Speaking of Patreon podcast bonus shows, that we put one out a couple of days ago. There'll be a couple of others this week. I just want to shout out quickly to Liam Kerins, Matt G, and also Jack Shipton. I missed him out in the last show for joining us, My Old Man Said patrons. Also, Jerome McCarthy for upping their pledge. Please do support the show by becoming a My Old Man patron. Go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron option there. Also, obviously, if you're listening on Spotify, iTunes, follow, subscribe, and also join the Facebook group, The Mad Few, to be in closer contact with the show. Right. First of the 3 points, I'll try to keep this condensed because you could do a whole show on this. Well, you could do a whole show on probably all of these points. This concept, I actually got an email from Own AFC asking if I wanted to interview the guy who came up with this idea, although I think it's been used elsewhere in France and elsewhere. So I don't think it's his idea, but he's actually developed the app in the UK. And that is to run a football club from a mobile phone app. Already, I think there's about 2,500 people signed up and they're looking for an English non-league team who
Didn't
needs...
Didn't we have an owner who did that? He did it via Twitter, though. He ran a football club via Twitter.
That was the boardroom, wasn't it?
Didn't he have some accounts out this week? We'll get to it later.
Wasn't he a doctor? Yeah.
No, well...
That was debatable.
Not a doctor of accounts, and he wasn't.
Yeah, but that's like me. I put my initials. My initials are doctor. It doesn't mean I'm actually a doctor.
Yeah, well, wasn't an accountant, that's for sure. All right, more of we'll touch on the finances in a second. So, Own AFC is a new app, and I think you pay like I don't know if it's gone up because it. There's articles that say £49, but when you go on the app, it says £99. So the idea is you get all these people together. They buy shares in the club, and then they pretty much make all the decisions like making new signings, hiring, firing staff, negotiating contracts via an app where you can say yes or no to various scenarios. So essentially it's like Football Manager or you know, all these armchair Twitter people who think they're managers actually get a chance to hire and fire staff and sign people.
Could you imagine the anti-Semite from the right, the cunt in front and the twat at the back seriously running Aston Villa Football Club? Could you imagine?
Well, of course you couldn't because there's no Wi-Fi in the ground.
We'd never make a sub. Oh, hang on.
We haven't even picked the team yet.
That's a very, very, very good point. So the idea is the manager would, in-game, would propose scenarios, you know, shall I put a sub on, blah, blah, and everybody goes, you know, votes yes or no. This is a scheme that's actually, I'm thinking I might do this interview and get him on the show. That could be could be quite funny.
We could have some great fun with him.
But there is a situation where you get people buying into a non-league club, and, you know, non-league clubs, some of them have been around, you know, 100 years, 140 years, and then suddenly... you know, it's a bit like novelty.
Mm. Aren't Portsmouth currently on the march? And they're sort of part fan-owned, or weren't they?
I think they're looking a bit lower than that. But you get in a position where, you know, these clubs are obviously grassroots level, people that, you know, work for them and really care for them. And, you know, it's, somebody said in the comments section of one of the things, it's not like to be treated like a dog that somebody has had for Christmas and then, you know, kind of gets rid of. You have to really be invested in the team. I think, is it Ebblesfleet? We're taken over by a website, My Football Club, I think it's 2008. But then again, that, you know, that was like a good 10 years ago. And I think like mobile apps now have advanced to such an extent that, you know, almost everybody's got a bloody iPhone, Samsung or whatever. And it's on another level now. But it's actually been happening in France. There's a club in the sixth division, I think, of the French league called Avant-Garde Seanese.
It's a good name. Give them that.
Yeah, I don't believe that avant-garde bit. They won promotion, allegedly, and the manager's been there for about 7 years, and he basically sums it up as saying he's, you know, the bit he likes about the job is, you know, the day-to-day interaction with the players, which you don't actually lose, obviously, using this way. And he said most of the time his views are essentially backed up by what fans think as well, so there's kind of been a synergy. But I don't know, can you see this taking over?
Honestly, no.
The only problem is other clubs have kicked up a fuss because they have to obviously film all these games, and they actually have let's say the filming levels and the infrastructure around it is a bit more advanced than AVTV. And we're talking about sixth division French league here, because they've got Optostats running through it. They've got proper you know, TV angles and everything, because people can watch the actual games in app as well. So you can obviously be at home or around the world, wherever, watching this game and making the decisions.
Just to tie into Villa and also the last game. And interesting how many Villa fans were watching Rams TV as opposed to AVTV.
I think that's because I hyped it up so much last time.
How was your commission for Rams TV, David?
Yeah, I should have had one, actually, because I did a good job before.
It was a good promo, yeah. But quality-wise is the point I'm making.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly. I think I might have got Tony Daly a job as well, and Darius Vassell a few hundred quid in the bank. Yeah, we keep getting messages saying, can you get Tony Daly to turn up his mic? But yes, sorry, the reason I mentioned the filming is the opposition owners have been complaining about claiming, you know, image rights and wanting financial compensation. So the kind of greed is set in.
It's all about the money.
It's all about the money, and they're trying to sort that one out. But at non-league level, you can see it actually as a way of, because it does kind of mirror the kind of German 51%, the fan ownership model. It kind of mirrors that German model. So there are definitely legs there, I think. Just a bit of refining, and, you know, the way, if you're looking at non-league clubs and the treasury of, you know, trying to get grassroots supports and money, this is a way that if you think outside the box, then it could be a potential goer, and it's certainly going to attract money and media, and you get that situation where it could be bigger because, you know, at the moment, Premier League clubs, Championship clubs are competing against entertainment per se. And, you know, some kids would prefer to stay at home and play their Xbox than get trudged down to Villa Park. So if this is a way of actually getting really invested in a team.
But you know what I really like? I really like a confident team. I like a team that comes out and says, Joe, if we're going to lose, we're going to give you your money back.
And this is That's point number like. Two.
This is the Russian Premier League side, FC Ufa. They were so confident they were going to win the home game against Dynamo Moscow on Sunday.
Who are better than them, I think. They're higher in the league, aren't they?
Yeah, they were a few places above. Anyway, this is such a good model. I mean, this model probably wouldn't have worked for Aston Villa in recent seasons.
We'd be millionaires.
We'd have been... can you be more bankrupt than bankrupt? But we'd have been that, because they basically said, you can have a refund if we lose. And unfortunately for them, in the 94th minute against Dynamo Moscow, they conceded a goal to lose 2-1. Bad luck.
Super.
But not only did they offer a free refund, but they said, as a bonus, we'll give you free tickets to the next home game as well.
Shoot.
It's going to be a sellout.
What business model is that? I mean, I can see Villa adopting the first one, the app run thing, because if this lot who were owning the club at the moment failed, then, you know, I mean, that's it. We men have two of the richest guys, well, combined, one of the, what are we, like third or fourth richest club based on their wealth?
In Britain?
In the English league and in whole of Britain. And if they're not going to sort Villa out, then we might as well put all our hopes in a mobile app.
Yes, we might as well do a mobile
app.
We might as well.
We might as well try it because we've tried everything else. Right, point number three.
Well, in an era when you know, you can watch football every day of the week, it's nice to see that La Liga has decided to scrap Monday night football after a huge amount of fan revoke. And obviously, I think the attendances have been dropping at games in Spain. The FA president, Luis Rubiales, his name is, said business is important, but fans more so, which is a very refreshing attitude. So as of next season, La Liga, there will only be football on Saturdays and Sundays. What a touch for the supporters.
You will never, ever see this in the Premier League.
No,
I pretty much guarantee that. The Premier League, there's more chance of them trying to reconstruct the calendar so there's an actual eighth day in the week, just so they can show more football on it.
The Premier League is an absolute money machine, is it? And I love my La Liga as well, that it's my go-to alternative after the Championship, you know, the excitement of Rotherham and Ipswich. They've done something else that's quite interesting as well. They tried to move all their English coverage to an app, and they moved all to 11 Sports, which is through an app.
I was watching the Clásico on that, yeah.
And it's interesting that they're trying to do new things, and they've sort of half abandoned that because you can now pick up a La Liga game from last weekend through to the end of the season on ITV4, which I think is pretty cool. Because
there was talk of them trying to get a game in America, weren't there?
There's
some
discussion around that.
Regular season games abroad, yeah.
I do think it's a great thing with the Monday night football because it's the right decision for me. I think it's very different to British football. Is that, you know, outside of those top clubs, you don't get massive attendances even in the top flight in Spain.
Yeah.
So you know, they have to protect that, and I think that's a great move. But also as well, they're not, how can I put it, that they're not trying to big up games that aren't big fixtures, which I think the Premier League's been quite coy at that way.
Sky.
You know, sometimes you tune into a game, Sky rather, have been quite coy at billing games where, you know, as derbies when they're not derbies and there's not really a
Well, they have the labelling for Sunday. What do they call the Sunday
Super
game?
Super Sunday.
Super Sunday, and they created, what's the Monday one?
It's Monday Night Football.
That was Ford Monday Night Football, and Gillette Super Sunday.
As well as getting the label of the derby, you've got like the Super Sunday, and it's all this, you know, it's all hyperbole at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And then Super Sunday's, you know, West Ham versus Fulham or something.
Yes, exactly. That's the point, isn't it?
And you can't really hype any of those games up.
Well, no, you can't. It is what it is. And I mean, last Sunday, I think I watched Real Madrid versus Levante, and I have to say, the only reason I really watched it was that one Antonio Luna was playing. He looked rather
good. What a
good guy. But
they always do, Dan.
They always do, don't they? But my point is that you can get free-to-air Spanish football on domestic British TV now. You can't get free-to-air English football anywhere that I can, you know, outside of the cup competitions. And I think there's something wrong there.
Yeah. Next up, and this won't take long, the Scott Hogan touch count meter. Unfortunately, he hasn't played since we last switched on the meter. Just some quick news. I've seen the plans for getting Aston Villa. It's like a World War II airlift from Dunkirk or something. Getting Aston Villa away fans out of St Andrews.
From Duddeston.
For the upcoming derby. There will be no holdback this time. Finally, the police and also various fan reps have convinced Birmingham, the club who have resisted leaving out the northern exit. I can't remember the name of the exit, but basically to get people on Emmeline Street, which is at the north of stadium, if you're looking at it on a, let's say, Google Maps, and to avoid the roundabout and the junction at Cove Road, where people tend to loiter and there's potential flare-ups. Last time there was going to be a holdback of 20-30 minutes, and people were just, Blues fans were just loitering around, and it was building up and building up, and Villa fans were there still at 90 minutes, which you know, civil liberties, etc., is just not acceptable. So they've got a road where all the coaches will be, and hopefully it's going to be a winner. Of course, people will complain that they can't go this way and they can't go that way, but the idea is you will get out and you will get to the city centre, and you won't have to wait 90 minutes in a sty. So let's see how that goes. Fingers crossed, it will be 3 points and a swift exit out as well. In other news, this is a strange one. At the Villa game, it's coming up to half time. I think Grealish had just lashed home. And then I got a picture from Joe Villafan, who's also on the fan consultation group, of the ladies' toilets with trays giving away free sanitary products, which is something I pitched to the club in August. And there's a movement called On the Ball, which is basically getting football clubs to highlight period poverty, where 1 in 10 girls can't afford period products. But it's also a big statement on inclusivity for women at football clubs. It's, for example, if you have a period emergency, and you know, sometimes periods last longer than you expect, or they just flare up when you're not expecting them, and if you're caught short, if you've forgotten it, then it's, you know, you got to improvise, and you know, the Villa program or a Villa dog really doesn't cut it. especially the Villa dog. I wouldn't want to eat a Villa dog, never mind anyway,
yeah, it's not ketchup. moving on.
So I just thought it would be a non-brainer when I mentioned, because, you know, a lot of clubs have signed up, from your Celtics to your Liverpool.
It's just doing the right thing, isn't it?
Manchester City have just recently signed up, the Baggies, the Wolves already do it.
But the Blues have gone one better. They've got a full tampon-shaped airship ahead of the... It's like the Hindenburg.
Yeah, actually, as far as I'm concerned, this was still in the air. So this week I was going to pick up the pace again. And I was going to write a big article about it. And also at the latest fan consultation group meeting, I was going to call the bluff and say this. I've got a big blimp Zeppelin balloon that's going to fly over Villa Park in the shape of a tampon. Justice for On the Ball of campaign. And I think they've got Villa and now the 72nd team to sign up for it. Anyway.
We're number 70. There were 70 odd clubs before us.
There was over 70 clubs before us. God. So anyway, I get this picture, and Villa are offering free sanitary products in the ladies, which I was just thinking, this is a great day, Villa Park. This has happened. So it saved me a lot of hassle. Something I thought was a non-brainer. Then I found myself like arguing with people in the fan consultation group and the Villa Park staff at the meetings. And, you know, I was hearing things like, well, we asked some women in the office and they didn't see the point of it. And they said, well, if women can afford tickets to games, then they should be able to afford tampons. And you thought, oh, so that's your Greek chorus, is it? You speak to a few women in the office and that's as far as it gets. This is a no-brainer. This is inclusivity. It's essentially being an example when football clubs, especially the size of Villa, are kind of a bastion in the local community. And it's to set example for other venues, other businesses in Birmingham. And, you know, from the reaction has been fantastic. And, you know, a community venture, which, you know, costs almost nothing.
As I said, it's just ultimately just do the right
thing. Yeah, no, exactly. And it's something like people, you know, people fight against it. It's like, why are you fighting against it? Just let it be. It's no big fucking deal.
It's kind of like saying, oh, well, he can afford a ticket to go to the match. He doesn't need toilet roll.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Bring his own toilet roll.
Exactly.
What?
Sometimes we haven't evolved as a race and...
It's have a moral compass.
Fine. Just because it hasn't happened before doesn't mean it's it shouldn't happen.
And I think there's something about Villa Park as well, and Villa and the Villa bubble, where you know, we're lucky enough to get about the world and get a part of different grounds and different settings, and you step back into Villa Park having been there, and you go, we need to modernise and actually get with it a little bit here.
I mean, now the buzzword in these fan consultation group meetings, and like the staff would use it, now I use it, and it's fit for purpose, and so much of that ground is not fit for purpose. I mean, I went to Ajax a few weeks ago. One of my family lives out in Amsterdam. And I know one of the heads of the supporter group out there, they've got like over 100,000 members, and he sorted me out some tickets. And Jesus Christ, being in the upper Doug Ellis concourse.
The narrowest concourse known to man.
Compared to Ajax, it's like being on another planet. Planet Ajax, where you just think, I don't want to go back to Earth. Fucking hell, no way.
And funnily, we must have housed the Ajax fans in that stand.
They must have cried. They must have thought they were in some concentration camp or something. It's so bad.
And they lost.
They lost.
It's embarrassing. No, but that upper... People pay good money for a season ticket or a match day.
Well, that's the top.
Yeah, because, you know, I was near the halfway line, so that...
The view's good. The view's good.
Very good view and very good leg room to give
it
its
due. There's nothing
due.
Behind. You walk through and you literally hit a wall, don't you, at the top?
Yeah, Because the leg room in the Holt's shit, the leg room in the Trinity's shit, I mean, that's not, just not fit for purpose. Ajax, so, you know, it was like being on a sun lounger. It was fantastic.
Well, they call it the Amsterdam Arena for a reason.
But yeah, no, so from that point of view, you just think everything to, like, put Villa right is going to cost so much money. So just giving female supporters and making them feel, you know, even more welcome. Emergency tampons is... it's a cheap way to actually, you know, score some points, because all the other ways of revamping Aston Villa's stadium require promotion, really, just for the cash. Anyway, finally, we get on to, it's the end of the podcast. Goodbye.
That is the end of the Jack Grealish podcast. Tampon.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Right, so let's get to the game where Jack Grealish's Aston Villa beat Frank Lampard's Derby County. And... after almost scoring early doors to get that early goal, just set it all up and away we went. It was bonkers. I mean, I think Derby, as we've said before, are a soft touch. So they're not somebody who can like out-muscle us and dominate us in midfield. There's somebody that the emergence of Grealish coming back in the team was like, oh, actually, I think we can win this if everything kind of clicks in place. And it's almost like he just pressed a big on button for the Villa midfield, because it all sparked up. Whelan played sensationally, probably one of his best games I've seen from him.
I'd agree with that.
And we're talking about in the context of, he was doing his normal breaking up play and, you know, getting in the tackles, but also being a bit more progressive with his passing. And, you know, he is the man that, if this was the Oscars, he would be getting best supporting actor for the corner stroke pass, which they've been practicing in training, and apparently Grealish was making a pig's ass of it in training, and it came off.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's show night that matters, isn't it? That I really enjoy. I'm gonna butt in here, and there's two things I really enjoyed about that goal. There's some fantastic angles of the goal knocking around on social media. There's a great angle, or two or three angles from behind Whelan as he pings that ball across, and that is a fantastic pinpoint ball across.
It leaves his foot with pace, but then it kind of floats down. It's like lofted up.
It's perfect.
I was diagonally from the upper dug, just inside, let's say halfway between the halfway line and the away fans. So I was kind of diagonally behind Grealish and then that far stick.
Yeah.
So you just saw it dropping onto his right peg, and I just shouted, "Volley it!"
Hang on, you're taking credit for that. That was instruction.
100%. It was like Roy of the Rovers, where they'll have the comic, and they have the balls coming out, and they'll have a frame of somebody shouting, "Volley it!" And then the next pick is like that scorcher into the top corner.
And the second thing I really, really enjoyed about the goal, and it's something I appreciated live, and I thought, God, I hope the TV or something picks this up, is that the sound of Grealish absolutely thumping the ball travelled.
Yeah,
and
it's
something that just before that, you heard the ball, or saw the ball rather, hit the back of the net. You heard the noise, and there's some really fantastic, again, and it's picked up by footage in the lower north, as it would be, of the sound of the football being absolutely leathered. It was just fantastic. I love that.
But in game, my memory of that, and we're all standing. I mean, half of us weren't celebrating because we're just stunned.
Yeah, yeah, I was stunned.
All these dropped jaws, looking at each other. Everybody's like looking up and down at each other. Like, did this just happen? And from that moment, I, as I said on Twitter, in my memory, it was like 30, 40 yards. So when I got back and I watched the highlights, I was like, oh, it's only the edge of the box.
No, it's a tapping.
People are, you know, doing the obvious thing, comparing it to McGinn. This, you probably give it because we're talking about straight from a corner. Mm. And the McGinn one just come, I mean, it's headed out or deflected out.
The Scholes one is the comparison for me. I don't think.
Well, McGinn's was compared to Scholes as well.
Yeah.
And I think McGinn's artistically, his strike is, you know, it's superb. I think it looks aesthetically, it's better than Grealish's. But Grealish's was just like, perfection. Came out of absolutely no fucking where. Yeah.
And it's a team goal, ultimately. You know, it's a strike off the training ground.
Yeah, it was planned. I mean, that's the funny bit, because it's...
And I tell you what, you can't think of many times that happens with Villa.
You know, when I saw Smith's quotes about that, basically confirming that it's planned, you suddenly have this moment where you go, oh my God, they actually, of all this misery that's going on and how turgid some of the play has been recently, they're actually practicing audaciousness like that. And you're thinking, in the world of percentages, the volley straight from the corner routine doesn't normally come up good. So I was wondering if maybe they'll say, well, we'll roll this one out if we're like 2 or 3 nil up and the game's won.
Yeah.
It was just so many positives to take from the game. I mean, I can't remember a game in a long time where a second half was quite so easy. I can't remember. We definitely haven't had a game since we were relegated where we were just so dominant. You know, we beat, obviously, Bristol 5-0, but that was a different kind of game. This one, we were just... Derby never looked like troubling us. And for a team who's only conceded, I think we've had 2 clean sheets at home all season.
Derby didn't have a sniff.
Well, they didn't have a shot on target. I mean, I was talking about the midfield being switched on by Grealish's presence. Conor Hourihan, who we've been, you know, saying should be playing further up, but we were saying that, you know, under Bruce. And then he was put back really in
should.
This kind of quarterback role, which worked initially, but this was a different Hourihan. I mean, he's been slated by some, this was how he should be, really. This is how he should be playing. But the Hourihan playing ideally where he should be brings up the question, obviously, with McGinn coming back and obviously Whelan playing very well, is, and actually Mom's patron Kev O'Sullivan sent this in, which he wanted discussed. It's just wondering if you chaps think we should stick with the team that started so well against Derby, or if we try and find a spot for McGinn to start against Small Heath. Personally, although McGinn is always in my first 11 for me, I think we have to start the same team. What do you think, Dan Rogers?
My view is that we mustn't fall into the trap that Bruce sometimes fell into, where he tried to keep an 11 and you actually have to look at who you're playing. So, you know, Whelan's going to require some rotation. You know,
why? It's a whole week.
I know, but let's be honest, he's one of the elder statesmen of the team. I'm not saying he should be swapped out, by the way, but I think...
What are you saying?
Well, what I'm saying is that someone like McGinn has to, you know, we have to treat all of our players the same. And one of the biggest issues with Villa...
What does that mean?
We're too sentimental. We're too sentimental sometimes. And McGinn's struggled over the last 3 months. I don't think he's been our worst player by any stretch, but I think his form has struggled for various reasons. Probably because he's been trying to do the job of 3 or 4 guys in our midfield.
Yeah.
Looking at Small Heath, well, I wouldn't change the team for the Blues unnecessarily, but would bringing McGinn back in be such a... I don't know. Is it necessary, or would he be more effective off the bench if things weren't going well?
Oh. Yeah, well, what I'm thinking is McGinn... We're talking St Andrews, you get fired up there. McGinn's getting stuck in, getting yellow cards all the time. While Whelan put in such a performance, it was pretty composed. He looked like, you obviously say he's the elder statesman, but he looked like his experience was actually being used for a change. He knew where to be, he knew where he was, and since he got a bit more progressive in his passing, then he thought, well, hang on, if you're that progressive in your passing, you're not passing it back automatically all the time, then there's a point to you. And I think his experience, a cooler head in that environment, might, as you say, be worth starting with.
Don't you think there's pros and cons to both? And I think it's actually a very difficult team selection for Smith.
Yeah, because there's an argument for actually dropping Hourihane, just to have that dynamoism of McGinn playing up with Grealish and Whelan in there as well. So you've toughened your midfield up with Whelan and McGinn, and just use your Hourihane as an impact, you know, off the bench if we need something a bit extra up front. And that, I don't know, potentially I could go with that, but Hourihane obviously carries a serious threat. Chris Spud, who would you select, Chris?
Well, I mean, firstly, the other thing is, of course, it's going to have to be a changed team because of one Tommy Elphick being injured, which is potentially a big loss because I don't know who the obvious choice to play centre.
Well, I do. It's Courtney Hoos.
See, strangely, my choice would have been, for once, against most people's thoughts, I'd play Jedinak at centre back against Blues just because of Jukovic's height.
Because
he's not quick. And Blues are going to come under the aerial bombardment at St Andrews. And I think
you might have looked into the crystal ball there, Mr. Bud. You've been eating too many Villa dogs.
I've got to admit, Mr. Bud, I totally forgot about Jedinak because I was just presumed it would be Oos and Taylor. But Taylor, suddenly you're looking at weakness because that back four, I mean, Hoos is like Wilfred Baumer in terms of his physique. He's like an ox down there, but he got forward really well against Derby.
He looks better and better, doesn't he?
He had a fantastic game. He had a really good... I will openly admit to being one of the people who were very angry walking out of the DW Stadium after his debut, thinking, what on earth have we brought him for?
Yeah, he didn't. It's the first time you mentioned your anger. We didn't know you got angry.
Dreadful.
What did you do? How did you vent your anger?
Every time I've seen him, I chewed Mo's ear off all the way down the M6. Hello, Mr. Razak. But every time I've seen him since, I think he's getting better with every game. Yeah. He's the classic thing of a guy who just needed game time, but he looks a much more composed player without the ball than Taylor. I just think in the spirit of keeping a balanced team, I would change as little as possible, including the midfield. That's my choice on McGinn. I think to have a player like that come off the bench, be it on the hour or whenever, because there's no guarantee a week on that Grealish is going to be a 90 minutes player again. You know, he's still, he was blowing after sort of 55, 60 minutes on Saturday. Yeah. Ultimately, McGinn will feature at St Andrews. He's going to get game time. So I think what a player and what energy to bring off the bench. I totally see the argument actually for pulling Hourihane out, because I think Whelan, in that, knowing what St Andrews is like on Derby Day, having the wise old head of Whelan, who will just keep it simple. And I remember last season, Whelan had a really good game, didn't he, at St Andrews? He won't be phased by it at all. Someone like McGinn, I don't think he'll be phased by it, but it might be the other end of the spectrum. Will he be really fired up having had 2 weeks off?
This is the quandary for going to St Andrews, because we haven't won there since we've been relegated.
Yeah,
is this a sign of our almost conservative way now that as a collective that we're talking about dropping Hourihane, who
has just scored two goals?
When you say conservative, you're talking about this collective of this podcast.
Yes, this. Well, we're all talking quite. We're talking about the possibility of I don't know, swapping out Hourihane after probably his best performance in months.
Yeah, I mean, let's caveat this by saying I think we got nothing to lose now, and we have to win. If we're gonna mention the P word, but if we're gonna pull off a miracle, well, let's call it an M word, a miracle. We're gonna have to win games, and we've just been drawing. Mm-hmm. So Smith's gonna just fight fire with fire and just go for it.
Absolutely,
I think so. I think most Villa fans, especially the next two games, because I think you look at the way. All of a sudden, you start looking at the table and think, if you go to St Andrews and win, and then you go to Forest and win, you know, just go for it, I think.
So why does one player change everything, Jack Grealish? I mean, when you look at the stats, one clue is, I mean, he had a lot of the ball and he had 95.1 pass completion, which nobody got close to. I think Elphick was the only other player in the 90s, and you know he was in 90 because a lot of the time he passes it sideways to Mings, you know, to play the out ball. So I think Courtney Horse called him the glue in the dressing room, but he's very much the glue on the pitch, Grealish. Obviously, I don't think we were a one-man team against Derby because he wasn't that influential in terms of, you know, he's not dribbling around six or seven players or whatever. But he does, as I say, switch the midfield on. Suddenly Whelan knows exactly where he's playing. Hourihane knows exactly where he's playing. And suddenly to function as a team becomes so much more easier and defined.
It was all the things we've been speaking about this for months, really. And it's the words we've been using for ages were control and tempo. You know, all of a sudden you can dictate the way you want to play, because when he gets the ball sticks to him. you know, and he's the option. And you know, I know Smith's used it, and he was using it a lot in the early days. He said Villa can play through their lines, which they were a lot more against Derby. You know, their midfield were very easy to play against, and they weren't a bullying type team. But you can only beat, you know, what's in front of you. But all of a sudden, you know, Al Ghazi and Adoma, even El Mohamedi had options and wide. The ball was going much quicker. And I think it's the thing that Grealish takes a man, or at least one man, out of the game straight away, because most teams will go man for man on him. And all of a sudden he opens up space.
It's quite funny that despite missing a third of the season entering this game against Derby, he was still the most fouled player in the Championship.
That's remarkable, isn't it?
Which is remarkable. A funny thing, the lower north were singing to Wilson when he was like taking a corner, who obviously came on. I think he's been injured, hasn't he? The Liverpool loanee. Harry Wilson, you know, the young kid, 17 year old, who's been scoring wonder free kicks for them. They were lower north were just shouting, "You're just a shit Jack Grealish," at him when he was when he was going to take corners. Horan was getting up so he could link up with Abraham as well. He was becoming that second striker, which was a role that Albert Adoma did last season. He would come off on off the left flank, come in centrally, and suddenly, you know, we had a second forward in there, or, you know, sometimes he was the main forward.
I actually think Adoma had, he looked, dare I say it, back to his old self of the previous seasons. It speaks for itself when Ashley Cole gets subbed off at half time because Albert Adoma and El Mohamedi have destroyed him for 45 minutes. I mean, that's pretty much the moment where you think, I'm probably going to have to retire.
They teamed up very well, though.
He was
Up very well. You know, they were overlapping. They were in sync playing together.
Yeah, and you've given me a tap in there to talk about the second goal, which all the guys we've mentioned, you know, it was fantastic play from Whelan, a brilliant ball from him to Hourihan, a great ball from Hourihan to El Mohamedi, an even better ball for the Abraham tap in. I mean, that is probably everything that everybody was hoping of a Dean Smith.
That was a throwback to the Ron Atkinson days, from defence to attack.
It was
flowing, flowing
was
passing football.
And actually, we took all of our goals really well. You know, both the Hourihan finishes were good, especially the second one. Abraham took his goal well. Obviously, the Grealish one speaks for itself. And the, I mean, you know, we could have had more. You know, I think we were probably just coasting in second gear in the second half.
There was a certain irony to after the Baggies game. Dean Smith was kind of making, let's say, you know, semi-pointed remarks to Big Dave Darren Moore, saying, "Oh, you know, they just sat back after half time. Well, hello, they were 2-0 up. They just wanted the 3 points and no silly business." But he said to his players, he said after the game that he said, you know, "I want a clean sheet." And that was the main thing he wanted from that second half. So it's, I mean, saying that, we could have scored easily. I mean, their keeper made a couple of good saves. Carson, after being demolished in the first half, you know, he made a couple of saves to keep the score down. But there wasn't that kind of intensity. But then again, you know, this is football. This is what happens if you 4-0 up at half time. It goes flat, but this, you know, this is why, where one of the adages in football is, if you go 2-0 up, it's a dangerous score to have if it's too early, because it just, that team that's 2-0 up starts thinking about, you know, they've already won, and they take the foot off the gas.
I mean, it was realistically, it was game over at 3-0, wasn't it? Let alone 4. I mean, you could, you know, there were the videos of the Derby fans climbing over the turnstiles to escape Villa Park half time.
We've all been
very
there.
Amusing.
But as well, normally I dig a tunnel. I always bring a spade to the game just in case. Well, we've always joked. I think at the half time, it was the first time, as we've said, and the facts, the stats back this up, Villa do need to score 3 goals at Villa Park if they are going to at least get a point. It's a fact. So at 4-0, it was like break out the cigar time. We're actually going to get 3 points today.
Someone turned to me at half time. I mean, it couldn't have been more than a few seconds after Grealish's wonder strike hit the back of the net, and said, "Oh, I hope this isn't like Forest." Immediately, I was unnerved. I've gone from complete zen only at Villa Park.
I thoroughly enjoyed the second half. It was a great novelty to sit there going, Derby are dreadful.
I actually biked to the game, and it said on the forecast before the game, it's going to rain at 3. So I thought, that's all right, I'll get there.
It was raining goals.
Yeah, it didn't actually say goals. It made out it was going to be normal rain. So obviously, it's a bit crap. But it said it's going to start to rain at 5. So I spent most of the second half just looking at the clouds, going, "Oh, it might hold out. I might get lucky here."
It's like going and watching
exactly,
the cricket.
Yeah.
The covers to come out.
absolute transformation. Just quickly to round off the Jack Grealish show, stats just in. Aston Villa with Jack Grealish. Aston Villa without Jack Grealish. Is there such a thing, Aston Villa without Jack Grealish?
No. I don't know.
We hope not.
But apparently Dean Smith's Aston Villa with Jack Grealish in the team, and we're talking about 10 appearances, have won 60% of them. So that's obviously six wins. Without him, they've only won twice. Now, there's other factors. Obviously, there's other injuries. There's, you know, the new managerial bounce. But maybe it is like a perfect marriage in terms of the way that Dean Smith wants to play, and obviously what Jack Grealish increasingly now he's maturing and taking responsibility is bringing to the team. Mm. I mean, all these people are saying, you know, we're getting to the conclusion, oh, this squad's shit. Dean Smith needs his own players. This is crap. Grealish is like the key that kind of makes it work and makes these players work as well, and just sits in that midfield and provides the glue that, as I said, makes everybody know exactly what their role is and, you know, attack it with relish.
He runs the game for us, doesn't he? He controls the tempo, he controls the pattern, everything goes through.
But unfortunately, the perfect marriage, I think, potentially comes to an end if Villa don't get promoted, which obviously seems to be a long shot. I mean, we'll discuss that as the picture becomes clearer. But obviously, he hasn't completed a full season, Grealish. So there's that doubt that may devalue and make the larger clubs lose interest. But when you're knocking in volleys straight from corners, it kind of perks their interest up again.
And potentially a very high release clause. Which Villa won't.
Yeah, but then you get into a situation of the players, obviously, he started to half think about it because that last move was close, fairly close. He had his head turned. So we get to the realms of Grealish wanting to put in transfer requests, and there's obviously a thinking that he's getting older now, and he's given Villa three seasons in this shonky league, and you can't really hold him back. So it'll get messy is what I'm saying. But talking about the P words, my philosophy is don't even talk to me about it until we beat the Blues and Forest. And then I think it's a viable conversation.
I'd agree with that. I think if you go there, and as I said earlier, you know, if you go to Blues and win, Forest and win, a couple of results go your way, you've still got, is it Middlesbrough,
yeah,
Bristol City to come to Villa Park?
And suddenly it's viable, I think. And if you look at last season, Derby finished sixth, and they got 75 points to finish sixth. Mm. Now, if that is the lit level to finish sixth this year, then we'd have to win 9 out of our last 11 games, which it's a tall order. I'm not going to rule it out, but it's a tall order, especially with Elphick getting injured. It suddenly makes it a bit more brittle. We're one more injury away from a potential disaster in terms of being a team that can win every game.
So if we're to use a barometer then, if we're looking at, I mean, let's take last season's table then. At this point, 35 games, 48 points. Two teams were on 48 points this time last season. One was Norwich City.
Yeah.
The other was Ipswich Town.
Yeah.
So it'll go one of two ways, I suppose. It's my prediction. We'll either be storming the championship, or using what was the syndrome we came up with last week?
Where the Monaco syndrome.
We'll appoint Paul Lambert from Ipswich Town following their relegation and the inevitable.
I think I should get T-shirts made up the Monaco syndrome. Let's put a bit more context on that. Derby getting 75 points last season. I'd say there were less, they're probably better teams last season than this season, but there was less of them.
Yeah.
This is a bit more of a spread. I mean, we're in a situation where we're 11th, and you know, some fans after the Derby game are thinking, oh, maybe we'll make the playoffs. There's actually three teams below us. We're in 11th that if they win, they'll go above us. So that shows you the depth of what we've got to get through. Is you can't just focus on sixth place and go, oh, we're only X amount of points away. We're only 6 points away. There's loads of other teams above us who are like obviously closer to that. But saying that, this time last season, the sixth place was Sheffield United on 58. So the sixth place now is Bristol City. They're on 54. They've got a game in hand, but I don't know if Bristol City is a guaranteed win. I mean, they're playing Leeds pretty soon.
Yeah, they play Ipswich next, though, don't they?
Yeah. So even if they win it, it's still less than Sheffield United were on last time. The team that dropped out was obviously Sheffield United, because Villa were there on 63 points last season at this time. Fulham, then your Derby managed to hang on. And the team that got in there was Middlesbrough, who were on 55. But I think if you're looking for a hope, the team that we're going to have to replicate but actually do one step better is Millwall. Millwall were 1 point more than what we've got now. And they're the team, like Fulham, came out of nowhere. I mean, Millwall's charge was just a little bit too late, and then they faded just in the last hurdle. But if they had carried on their last few games as they had previously, they would have made it. Mm. They'd have got that sixth spot. So the Millwall example, just improve on what Millwall did last season and you might make it. Millwall syndrome.
I mean, it shows, I'm just looking at the fixtures now, and it's, as we said about the next two, it's huge because
you're taking two teams out that are above you as well.
Exactly. And then you've obviously got Middlesbrough, which potentially becomes a huge game. Then you go into your international break where there's talk of Twan Zabi being back, Chester, but that's when you can do your real... fine-tuning, and you have to get it right, because then you look at the end of March through April, Blackburn at home, Wednesday away, Rotherham away, Bristol at home, potentially, and then Bolton, Millwall, then you've got Leeds and Norwich, but potentially they could have pulled away by then.
Unless Sheffield United make a real fight of it, I think the Baggies, I mean, I watched the Baggies-Leeds game, and I said if the Baggies really, really want to impose themselves on an automatic, they've got to beat Leeds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they weren't even close, let's admit it.
Yeah, a million miles away.
So I'm thinking Sheffield United are the only ones who are contending there. So out of those three, if you're talking purely from a Villa selfish point of view, you'd want Norwich and Leeds to romp away and enter the final couple of games. Absolutely. Already up.
Absolutely. And I look at Middlesbrough, and I think they've sort of just quietly gone about their business, but they haven't really wowed anyone.
No. Nah.
Slowly
Middlesbrough don't
chipping
score
away
any
at
goals
it.
Either. They scored 30.
But Middlesbrough have got a 7-point cushion. They're consistent enough, I think, to make it. So I think it's only the sixth place that's really up for grabs, realistically. From a Villa point of view,
it's got to be a target if there is one.
If Villa win, you know, a hell of a lot of games and the stars align, then I think sixth is the only one up for grabs. But anyway, as I said, let's not even go there.
As we've discussed,
unless we beat those motherfuckers.
I'll end on my final thing. We previously discussed this in a multiple podcast. We're not going to use the P word, but if in the event that Villa got in the top six, would we do it? I still think we would.
Yeah, I think we would, yeah.
Because to have got in the top six, we would be the team with the momentum.
And we would
more
than likely be playing Sheffield United home and away. And they thumped us over two legs. Well, actually, we made a comeback at the end, but couldn't claw it back. That would be the likely game. I mean, we're all in hypothetical land here. Yeah. Hypothetical dreamland.
You're right. We are playing for sixth place, realistically, aren't we? You're not playing for third, fourth or fifth. Yeah. I mean, we're yet to know what the crack's going to be with the Birmingham points deduction.
Yeah, but if we beat them, I think that's irrelevant in terms of our future.
Yeah. And then, of course, it makes the game after it.
But if the Blues beat us, that's game, set, and match, because that'll put them in a strong position.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're not going to recover from that. The shame would kill us, if nothing else. Right, we'll finish on that. We'll run some Mom's Patron questions in Mom's Patron podcast. There's some good ones there. So please do follow and subscribe. Also, pick up My Old Man Said podcast t-shirt as well while you're at it, if you want to really support the show. And join the Facebook group, The Mad Few, and become a patron. And until next time, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
We were obviously just swept up in the Grealish hurricane of this week that the club has perpetuated. But to give him his due, Grealish, or should I say, as he's now known, Captain Grealish,
Captain Jack.
Hang on a minute, are you the anti-Semite to the right with a comment like that, giving Grealish his due? You can cut that out.
I will. So just to go back to that point about Luna, I mean, the basic equation, Aston Villa equation, is if you manage Aston Villa, your career's over afterwards. But if you're a crap player, or the Villa fans call you crap, you could potentially go on to better things. You know, Joe Bennett, Luna,
Westwood,
yeah, Toneff. We don't know where Toneff is. We'll just say his name, though, just for kicks. What's that?
Alexa's talking to me. Hang on.
Toneff?
I said Toneff, and Alexa's does not compute.
He's just loaded up his Alexander Toneff playlist on Spotify.
Fucking
Toneff is his Alexa trigger word.
Let me just pause and shut Alexa up for one second.
Tarnoff.
That's brilliant.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.